Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Today on Live Talk Diaspora Forum, we are talking about 2024 expectations of Zimbabweans living outside the country. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. Malawi's government is sending young people to work on Israeli farms amid the conflict with Hamas. Critics say the program is shrouded in secrets and has exposed unemployment issues in the country. Human rights activists argue that young people are willing to take opportunities abroad despite the risks. Chimwemwe Padatha reports from the capital, Lilongwe.
Young people line up in large numbers at registration centers like this one for recruitment under a program that gives Malawians opportunities to work on farms in Israel. They are hoping to join about 600 Malawians who have been airlifted to Israel through the agricultural program. A resident of Blantyre, the country's second largest city, 23-year-old Ruth Kanchunjuru, is ready for such an opportunity.
It's a lifetime opportunity. I wouldn't lose it because at some part of the country there is war.
As Israeli reservists have been called up for military service since the war with Hamas began in October, Malawi is not the only country Israel has been making labor exchange deals with to fill gaps created on farms. Kenya announced that it was sending 1,500 farm workers in December, and Israeli officials said recruitment is underway in Uganda and Tanzania. But the labor exchange program in Malawi isn't without critics. Malawi Human Rights Defenders Coalition, or HRDC, accuses the government of secrecy on the deal. Maigo Kayatsa, the vice chairperson for the rights group, says they want access to information on Israel's treatment of foreign workers.
That's why it's important that he details, like issues of safety, issues of pay, issues of conditions of service, should be clarified so that people can make informed, decisions.
In the next 5 years, Malawi's Labour Ministry says it plans to send at least 5,000 people to work in Israel's farms, but the figure could go as high as 15,000. Youth and Society, or YAS, rights organization, has demanded a clear policy position on the program, says its executive director, Charles Kajolowega.
There are no guidelines at the moment that are facilitating or supporting the regulation of this labor export. And what is more worrying is that the government is looking at these young people as the commercial tools.
Israeli Ambassador Michael Lotem recently told a local publication that the labor export will benefit the two countries. But as of December 2023, a memorandum of understanding is yet to be signed, according to Malawi government spokesperson Moses Kunkuyu.
I mean, the MOU that we get to have to also be a guide document in as far as the operations of the agents on the ground are concerned. And young people get employment, they go to Israel and work, and people come in and they start criticizing that process.
Through the labor exchange program, Malawi's government says it anticipates generating foreign exchange as young people get jobs abroad. Chimwemwe Padatha, VOA News, Lilongwe, Malawi.
A detained Citizens Coalition for Change member and former member of parliament for Zengeza West, Job Scala, appeared today before Arana magistrate Ferris Chakanyuka, facing charges of incitement to commit public violence and another charge of spreading falsehoods. Scala's lawyer, Arson Komo, says they expected a ruling regarding the constitutionality of Section 31 of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act that he says was struck down in 2018. However, the magistrate said the law still exists, prompting the lawyer to think about approaching the High Court for a review. Scala has been in and out of court since his arrest in June 2022. Let's hear Nkomo explaining what took place in court today.
We have just come out of court wherein we expected a ruling from the magistrate regarding the constitutionality of Section 31 of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act, which basically is a piece of legislation that criminalizes publishing or communicating falsehoods prejudicial to the state. Obviously, as journalists, you are aware that this matter has got history, especially Section 31. In 2018, journalists took the matter to the Constitutional Court, and the Constitutional Court then ruled that Section 31 of the Criminal Law Codification is inconsistent with the basic fundamental human rights regarding freedom of expression. To that end, it was struck out the statute books of this country. So it was on the background of that matter that in the case of Sikala, we challenged the charge of communicating and public falsehood because it is no longer part of our law. Sadly, to Mr. Sikala, the court has ruled that the law transformed itself. How it revived, we don't know. Because what we understand is once a law has been struck out from the statute books, it does not see light of day. There has to be a way of it resurrecting. But the court ruled that it resurrected, which is a position that we respectfully disagree with. We shall therefore take the matter to the High Court for review. That notwithstanding, we have to also proceed with this particular trial on Friday, the 5th of January 2023, before the same magistrate.
How is Kala holding up amidst all this, especially after a year?
It's not a year, it's a year, yes, and more than 7 months. Mm. He has really, really been resolute. He is abundantly clear in his mind that he has not committed an offense. You are aware that in one of the matters where he was convicted, the High Court overturned it. And as matters stand, he remains an unconvicted inmate at Chikurubi Maximum Prison. And he's very hopeful that all the charges are going to fall apart, and he's confident that he did not commit any crime.
Well, on this matter, what charges, what course did he communicate? What does it say?
It is alleged that he, on his Twitter account, he posted a child who was bleeding profusely and alleged that it is barbaric in this day and age for one to strike a child with a button stick, and they were saying that the child was not dead, and that is the foundation of the charge. But it is to be clear in your minds that he does not agree that he posted the Twitter account. I mean, he posted on the Twitter account, and all the contents of that message which are being attributed to him, he denies them.
That was Harrison Nkomo, a lawyer representing Job Sikala of the Opposition Citizens Coalition for Change. Back to our main topic. Some Zimbabweans in the diaspora say they expect the economic situation to worsen this year due to drought caused by the El Nino phenomenon and issues of governance. This will force them to send more remittances back home in 2024. However, for some, especially those aligned to the ruling party, ZANU-PF, they remain positive, saying resilient Zimbabweans will find many ways of surviving under the tough economic conditions. Let's hear from you, Zimbabweans in the diaspora and back home. What do you expect in 2024? Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today we are discussing what Zimbabweans in the diaspora expecting or are expecting in 2024. To discuss this issue, we are joined by Mr. Dan Moyo, who is the MDC USA chairperson, Mr. Frank Guni, a ZANU-PF member in North America, and Mr. David Siampondo, a Citizens Coalition for Change member also based in North America. Welcome to our show, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much. Let me start with Mr. Siampondo. Mr. Siampondo, 2023 elections came and your party disputed the outcome of the elections. And some are saying that also is going to ruin the economy and the political situation in the country come 2024. What do you say about this?
Thank you very much, Koma Jonga. Am I audible?
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. And the compliments of the new year to you and all Zimbabweans. Right, so as a start, it is not only the Citizens Coalition for Change which are disputed or had reservations with the elections. You will find that a lot of, or almost all observer missions, they did dispute or put reservations on the outcome of these elections. Now, to the topic, you will find out that we are very wary that the political situation that we have right now prevailing in Zimbabwe, coupled with the El Nino drought that we are about to face as well, it is going to be very difficult for Zimbabweans back home to make a living or to survive this period that we are looking at. So basic fundamental human rights, when they are broken down, they place a big toll on the diaspora, who will be faced with the challenges of making sure that they come in to close the gap.
Thank you so much.
So they're broken.
Yes, I'll come back to you, Mr. Siampondo. Let me go to Mr. Dan Moyo. Mr. Dan Moyo, your party MDC, we saw that it ended up not fielding candidates in the past elections. And some say whatever the problems that the country is facing in 2024, your party should not have any word or a say in this because it did not participate in the elections. What's your take on that?
Well, it was unfortunate. We have our own internal disputes within the party. We don't agree with the current leadership. So those are issues that still need to be ironed out. We need to go to a Congress that is structure-based, that supports the grassroots. So, yeah, anticipate changes to happen in 2024 as we move forward to restore the party to its former glory. The party still has support. Many Zimbabweans still believe that it's the only party of hope because it's a party that has that is institutionalized, has structures, and it just needs to be rebuilt. Now, looking forward into 2024, really, it's all looking bleak for Zimbabwe. The currency loses value on a daily basis. There's a shortage of the dollar, so there is more need for us in the diaspora to support our families and friends back home. So we don't see a bright future for 2024. We saw a budget that was really taxing on the individuals, on the poor. It was a budget that was anti-poor. We see an increase in basic commodities. Inflation is going to skyrocket. Now people have to pay for passports at a price that is five times what other neighboring countries are paying. There's going to be a tax even on soda and a fuel tax. So there's a lot of negative things that we're seeing going into 2024, which is all a result of misgovernance by the current regime
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Which has totally failed to rule, and no clue how to get Zimbabwe out of this quagmire.
Let's hear from Mr. Guni. Mr. Guni, all these blames are being laid on ZANU-PF, the ruling party. What do you have to say about this and expectations of 2024?
I think Zimbabweans can be rest assured that the ZANU-PF government will continue on the current developmental trajectory, will continue to invest in infrastructure development. Manize is coming up in Vuma there, where we'll have the largest iron smelting industry on the African continent and perhaps in the world. We will continue to invest in road development, water harvesting, and ensuring that the industrial base of Zimbabwe is redeveloped and reindustrialized. That's the only way our economy will grow. Mm-hmm. We cannot grow an economy without a functional industrial base, and that's going to be the focus of the current government.
Mm-hmm.
We are aware that our detractors and the opposition parties all put together, the Zimbabwean people spoke in the just past elections. They voted for ZANU-PF, which shows confidence in our party, which shows confidence in the ruling party, the only party that has the needs and the will of Zimbabweans at heart.
Thank you.
On the other hand, we do accept that economically it continues to be a challenging situation for people in Zimbabwe, and we foresee in 2024 the diaspora playing a critical role in terms of providing remittances to support their families back home in Zimbabwe, which in turn will propel the economy as well.
Regai chinzwe kuna vasiyampondo. Nyaya iyo mutoro urikuiswa pavana veZimbabwe vari kunze kwenyika kubatsira kunge muchichengeta hama kumusha, Mr. Siyampondo. Yet some say the government should be doing all that. What people should be just doing is to assist their families, not for the government to look up to remittances from the diaspora.
Ndinotenda mukoma jonga. Muchaona kuti ndodambudziko ratinaro iroro. Rekuti zvoni vari diaspora vari kunze ndovanozopiwa mutoro wekuti kana zvaomesesa chiitai kuti mimi nemari dzamunotumira muri kunze ikoko dzinge dzichariritira mhuri yeZimbabwe. Asi kana tasvika pachidanho chekuti tivhote, vanhu vari mudiaspora vanobva vatanga kunyombwa, kutukwa, kuonekwa savanhu vasina basa. Diaspora vote yakangobvira kare ichichemerwa kuti tinodawo kuti tirikognizwe panyaya dzekusarudza vatungamiriri. Zvokuti hazvibatsiri kuti tinotumira mari kumusha kuti inobatsira, asi hatina chekuita mukusarudzwa kwevanhu ivavo vanenge vachibata mari idzodzodzo. Saka ndo zvimwe zvezvinhu zvinonetsa izvozvo kana takatarisa nazvo. Asi sekuti tine dzimhuri, hatingazomiri kuita sei kutumira mari kuti mhuri dzedu dziwanike dzichirarama upenyu hwakanaka kuZimbabwe. Ende muchaonawo zvekare kuti zvinoburitsa manyepo ehurumende kuti propaganda haife yakatungamirira nyika. Nekuti gore negore, mwaka nemwaka, tinenge tichinzi tine bumper harvest. Izvezvi mukatarisa mahandles enhengiri ivava vezanu nevehurumende vanenge vachiti tine goho rakakura. Asi tisi tinotanga kuchema nzara munyika dzese dziri musadhaki kuti tapererwa nechikafu. Tisi tinokurumbidza kupererwa nechikafu kudarika vamwe vese. Tisingazive kuti tinodyisa here kana kuti takadii. Asi chokwadi chinenge chiripo ndechekuti hakuna goho ratinenge tinaro. Hurumende haisi kutsigira agricultural sector yedu zvakakwana. Muchaona kuti mainputs nezvese zviri kupiwa kune vanhu vezanu ava vanonotengesa, hapana production inoitwa inoita kuti tinge tine goho rakakwana rekuti kana nzara yauya siyatataisana nayo muna 2024 tiwane tine chekubatsirika nacho kubva mudura rehurumende. Izvezvi dura rehurumende harina charinacho, ringori mweya chete nemepo.
Thank you so much. Mr. Denmoyo, the economy, people look up to minerals, agriculture, and other resources that the government has at its disposal to assist or help prop up the economy. Do you see any of the sectors helping to prop up the economy in 2024?
Yeah, the problem we have is looting in the country. The country is well endowed with minerals, but unfortunately, the minerals are being looted by ZANU-PF. We saw what happened with the Chiadzo diamonds. We saw what's happening with the gold mafia. So even if the country has all those minerals, they are benefiting only a few individuals. And going to what Dr. Guni was saying on infrastructure, those are just promises. Every time we go to elections, we hear these promises from ZANU-PF. But nothing really comes to pass. I personally was in Zimbabwe in September this year, and I took a chance to drive from South Africa to Harare, believing what Mnangagwa had lied to the people of Zimbabwe, that the Harare Pike Bridge Road was now so beautiful that you could stop and grill on it. I tell you that road is a death trap. It took me 10 hours to get to Harare, a journey that used to take me 5 hours before, because there are so many detours. They only maintained the road for certain distances, then there's a detour which is longer than the maintained road, and those detours are there all the way till you get to Harare. And now they are increasing toll gates, the toll gate prices, and people now will have to pay more tolls for roads that are non-existent. When I was coming back from Bulawayo through Pike Bridge, I even hit a pothole in the middle of the night, and had to start changing a tire in the middle of the night. So those roads, those are the death traps that we have. And when we talk of infrastructure development, let's start with the basics that the people really need. We need proper roads, a proper road network, so that we can stop the carnage that we are seeing on our roads. Let's stop lying. ZANU-PF should stop lying to the people that they are working on infrastructure projects, when in fact they are working on projects to enrich themselves.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Mr. Moyo. Mr. Guni, as you heard from Mr. Moyo and Mr. Siampondo and other Zimbabweans, they are saying that ZANU-PF, the ZANU-PF government is misplaced when it comes to priorities and also lies, as what Mr. Demwe said. What's your response?
Well, it's very clear. I'm glad that my brother, Mr. Danny Moyo, was able to drive through detours. It means the actual road was being constructed. That's why there were detours. I can pinpoint a specific number of infrastructure development projects. Wange number 7, Wange number 8. Like I mentioned, my needs, the iron smelting in Mvuma. We are working flat out to ensure, but these are infrastructure development projects. They don't take 2 months, 3 months. These are long-term projects. We don't get to see the yield in a short term. They take time. And also, notwithstanding the fact that when the current government took over, the infrastructure of Zimbabwe had gone really, really down, and now we are rebuilding. I do agree that we do need to also focus on the basic needs of our people: water, sanitation, provision of access to health to all our people, both in urban areas and in the rural areas. Those are the key focus areas we need to look at as a government. And we'll continue to do that. Going back to what Mr. Siampondo was saying, I don't know which country he's referring to, because I can tell you that you can go on the World Bank, IMF, on the African Development Bank. Zimbabwe is the only African country that has been wheat sustainable for the first time since 52 years. We have not been importing grain. Yes, this year, definitely, we are going to see a deficit owing to the El Nino that's coming to Southern Africa. But other than that, we have been able to feed ourselves here in Zimbabwe. And we'll continue to do that. Right now, Zimbabwe
Thank you, Mr. Guni. Please do stay on the line. Tore Mtereri. Mtereri, wendo kutanga pachirongwa. Hello? Hello, caller?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Magadi, Baba.
Dino fara magazimba.
Taka simba, ndiyana avo.
Ita andina itu wa manata tariru.
Tipe iti nzika, shambu na utaura panya, ya turukurukurai.
nyaya mukurukura nedingindira ramuri kufambana ro zvakanaka rinofadza chaizvo asi tanga tichingokumbira zvedu sevagari vekumusha vekuZimbabwe kuti zvinhu dai zvafambisika mugara rakanaka takwanisa kurarama tava neupenyu hwakanaka mukurarama kwedu nokuti izvozvi zviri kutinetsa mukurarama kwedu panguva ino neinguva yatiri nekuti maelection haana kufamba zvakanaka upenyu hwedu hausi kunyatso kuti hufambe zvakanaka nekuda kweavo vasingade kuti rusununguko rweko ruzhinji saka naizvozvo ndinoti kune avo vese vari kufamba vachitaura zvisina maturo aiwa ngavaregedze izvozvo nekuti isu tinoda rusununguko
tinoda
kufara
saka chinhu chamungati chakaoma pari nhasi muZimbabwe chii tinzwe kune vadare vedu vatibatsire nemhinduro
chinhu chakaoma pari zvino panguva ino kuZimbabwe tiri kuda kuti ikonomi yeZimbabwe idzokedzane zvirwere muZimbabwe zvawandisa zvipatara zvina matabhuleti ekuti zviraramise vanhu vari kungoti famba vachitaura zvakawanda asi kuZimbabwe zvipatara hazvina mapiriti vanhu vari kurwara vanhu vari kufa
tinotenda thank you so much regai tikande nyaya yenyu kune vateereri let me go to Mr. Siampondo you heard from our caller he said that the economy is dead hospitals they don't have any medication there's no equipment in hospitals do you see or expect the government to take heed of all these do something in 2024
unfortunately no I don't see the government having that mentality to bring those services to the people because these calls they are not new calls the dilapidation of our health infrastructure the roads and the education system it did not happen overnight it's a process that accumulated over and over but because of the bad leadership that we have back home we don't have that mentality among the leaders right now or the assumed leaders right now to at least work around the problems that we are having especially in our in the health sector
thank you
because the health sector is supposed to be the backbone of the nation
thank you so much yes we are about to end the program let me just go to Mr. Moyo what do you expect from the government in 2024 considering what all you guys there and our caller said and suggested
zero I don't expect to see anything positive coming out of this government they have failed for the past 43 years and we can continue hoping every year or every 5 years we have elections that things are going to change. But unless that government is changed, unless we have a true regime that is there for the people, nothing is going to change. SADC is not going to help Zimbabweans. Zimbabweans now have to start thinking outside the box and start finding innovative ways to bring down that Zimbabwean government.
Thank you so much. Let's hear from Dr. Guni. Your last word.
My last word that Zimbabweans, we need to think of solutions, form clusters, develop kwamunobva kumusha kwenyu, make sure that the areas where you come from are well developed. Don't sit on your hands and wait for the government to do everything. Please, let's come up with solutions. Criticizing forever will not create solutions. What will make Zimbabwe move forward are solutions that address the people's needs. The people of Zimbabwe need solutions, not... Thank you.
Thank you so much. That brings us to the end of our show. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank our guests, Mr. Dan Moyo, MDC USA Chairperson, Mr. Frank Guni, ZANU-PF North America member, and Mr. David Siampondo, Citizens Coalition for Change North America member. This is Jonga Kandemiri, signing off saying, wherever you are, Zimbabweans, please work hard and continue working hard to make sure that 2024 is a prosperous year.